Hey everyone, and welcome to The Shot with Cosmos of Cosmos, and cheers to eclipses!
Hey! Boop. That's timely.
Down the gullet, yep. That's why I chose the topic. Yep. All right, eclipses. You all may be familiar with the term eclipse. There's a total eclipse of the heart. There's those stupid Twilight books, and one of them's called Eclipse.
You should have said total eclipse of the heart.
Copyright infringement. Anyway, the word eclipse comes from the ancient Greek eclipses, which means the abandonment, the downfall, or the darkening of a heavenly body.
Interesting combination of
right? Right? Yeah, there's a whole etymology into it, but I'm not going to get into it. So that's fun. And we'll, and that is, you know, kind of fitting, as I'll talk about in a second. But the scientific term for an eclipse is an astronomical object or spacecraft is temporarily obscured by passing into the shadow of another body or by having another body pass between it and the viewer.
Okay.
All right. Now, in ancient times, this was seen as a scary phenomenon, the downfall of all of society, it was bad omens, because in ancient times, these people don't know what the fuck the sun and the moon really are, and then for all of a sudden, one or the other to disappear for a bit, and then come back, it was kind of like, what the fuck is happening? A lot of ancient stories around eclipses deal with it, like the sun or the moon being, or specifically the sun being like eaten or stolen or just some nefarious action happening, you know, signaled bad omens, gods are pissed off about something.
Yeah.
So it was never a looked forward to occurrence or a happy time when it happened. Now, of course, there's absolutely no scientific evidence that eclipses affect anything other than don't look at a solar eclipse. You want to keep your eyesight intact.
Yeah, unless you have like
the only bad thing that's going to happen from an eclipse is if you stare directly at a solar eclipse.
Like Trump did that one time.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the oldest eclipse on record, well, I found kind of like two that had been mentioned. There was one that is apparently a clay tablet in the ancient city of Ugarit, which is now in Syria, that happened on either May...
Did it move? I like that it's now in Syria.
It's now Syria.
Oh, it's now
Syria. Now we would know it's in Syria. Okay. Yeah. So it either happened on May 3rd, 1375 BCE, or March 5th, 1223 BCE.
Okay.
But I found on a NASA website that there's apparently from November 30th, I guess they did like the math and simulations and stuff, but November 30th, 3340 BC, there's a series of spiral shaped and circular petroglyphs found at the Lochcrew Megalith Monument in County Meath, Ireland.
Okay.
And the rock carvings show overlapping concentric circles. So they feel like that is symbolic of the eclipse. They also found 50 charred body remains.
Oh, shit.
So,
all right, let's
that's fun!
Let's focus on the positive.
Eclipses equal death. But also, in 1200 BCE in Anyang, China, there's records of eclipses on oxen shoulder blades and tortoise shells, and these are bones. These are oracle bones, and scribes had recorded the sun has been eaten.
Well, yeah, I mean, so, that's what it looks like.
You know, that's fun. The sun has been eaten. I was going to do the Lord of the Rings in the book, and there is no more. We cannot run. all right, so what's going on? What's going on with eclipses? I've already referenced solar eclipse and lunar eclipse. These are the two main types of eclipses that we're most familiar with, mm-hmm. But you can have eclipses of any kind of a body, right?
Right.
And what is taking place is just orbital orbital mechanics is what you're seeing. Mm-hmm. It's orbital mechanics, aka physics in motion happening, and that's what we're observing.
Love me some physics.
I know you do. So it all has to do, at least for a solar and lunar eclipse, with how the Earth lines up with the sun and the moon in their orbits, right? So our solar system is on the same plane, right? The mm-hmm. sun and the planets, they're all in the same plane. The moon, it formed later during the, after the formation of the solar system, it formed later, so it didn't form on the solar plane, as it were. So it's actually tilted in respect, like 5 degrees or
yeah,
so.
Yeah, still pretty close, though.
Off the plane. Still. Yeah, it's still pretty close, but it doesn't exactly line up. And it's only when the moon lines up with the sun and the Earth that we get either a lunar or a solar eclipse. It's why they don't happen all the time. Mm-hmm. They happen frequently, but not all the time because of that unalignment, misalignment, I should say. So with a lunar eclipse, the moon is actually passing through the shadow of the Earth. So it occurs during a full moon. When
which one? Oh, the lunar eclipse. Yes, yes, yes.
All right, so it happens during a full moon when the Earth is in between the moon and the sun. All right, we're kind of like a bear. We're like holding them off. Like, hey, guys, we're in the middle. We're in the middle of them. And so when the moon then aligns up on the plane of the solar system, then the moon is essentially passing directly behind the Earth, and the sun is directly opposite it. And so all of the sunlight is illuminating one side of the Earth, and that moon is then passing behind it through the shadow mm-hmm. of the Earth. And the moon doesn't go completely dark during a lunar eclipse because that light from the sun actually still gets refracted through our atmosphere, bent around it, and casts like a little illumination on the moon. And
what
the
color is it?
Shorter wavelengths get scattered more, just like in a sunset.
So
the blues go away and the reds hit the moon. And so often a total lunar eclipse is known as a blood moon.
I love it.
Now the amount of red that it turns, the color that it turns, really depends on how much particulates are mm-hmm. in the atmosphere. You can get like a really deep red, crimson red, or like a muddy brownish red.
This is when you want volcanoes going off.
Yeah, so you can get a lot of stuff in the atmosphere. A lot of particulates in the atmosphere mean you're going to be like a more red.
We don't want anybody hurt.
No.
We
just want a creepy-ass freaking eclipse. And this is the most common type of eclipse, essentially. It's going to happen more frequently than a solar eclipse. Mm-hmm. And it lasts a fairly long time. 30 minutes to an hour is how long a lunar eclipse will last. So you have some time to, you know,
Earth's shadow is pretty big.
Yeah.
But you're talking about, like, the umbra.
I'm talking about a total eclipse. So, of course, you have total eclipses and partial eclipses. A total eclipse, you're in the umbra, the darkest part of a shadow. Whereas a partial eclipse, it's known as a penumbral eclipse. So you're kind of in it, but also not in it. So it's like not as drastic as an eclipse, or it's partial basically.
And the partials, like you really don't get the reds.
Yeah, it's just kind of like the moon just fades a little bit. Like it's a little dark. Like it just is like, oh, so somebody put sunglasses on while looking at the moon or something. You know, it just gets a little shaded. It's a little shady, that moon. All right. Now, a solar eclipse, okay, is the opposite, essentially. A solar eclipse happens when the moon is in a new moon phase, and it's in between the sun and the Earth. So mm-hmm. now it's being a little barrier with the sun. And so the moon basically passes in front of the disk of the sun, blocking it out. Now, the moon's distance from the Earth does vary. So sometimes the moon is closer to us or farther from us. One or the other. It doesn't.
Depends on what eclipse you're going for.
Okay. It doesn't fully block out.
Okay. Further.
Okay. It doesn't fully block out the disk of the sun, so you get what's called an annular eclipse or a ring of fire eclipse. So you still You still see basically like a border of the sun around the moon, mm-hmm. whereas a total solar eclipse that the disk of the moon completely blocks that of the sun, and the weirdest shit happens. All right, we saw the total solar eclipse in 2017 in Idaho, and let me tell you, it is something that is worth seeing at least once in your life because it's wild.
It is the closest to a religious experience as I can
get. Yeah. What happens is that it gets dark like twilight. Like all of a sudden, it's midday and it turns to twilight. Birds get quiet. Like the entire
air. Frogs will chirp or whatever.
Yeah, it's like the animals croak. Are like, oh, it's nighttime now. Time to turn into our nighttime behaviors. Mm-hmm. And it just goes into this twilight mode. And you look up at the sun with protective eyewear.
You still need it.
But you can see the outer atmosphere of the sun, the corona, as like this halo around the disk of the sun and the moon. And it is absolutely gorgeous.
It is. It's ghostly nebulosity.
Yeah, it is. It is a no wonder why ancient. When you see an eclipse, it's no wonder why ancient peoples were like, this isn't good. Like, because it's just an eerie, ethereal, like, a feeling that you get.
It brought tears to my eyes.
Yeah, it was. It's beautiful. So there are about 2 to 5 solar eclipses per year, but a total solar eclipse occurs about every 18 months or so. The problem is the majority of the Earth is water, big oceans. So a lot of the times these eclipses happen where we can't readily get to them and observe them.
It also nails like the poles much easier than it does anything else. And so.
However, we got a doozy. We got a big doozy of an eclipse
coming out. For us here in the U.S.
For us here in the United States, part of the United States, on April 8th, 2024, there will be a total solar eclipse that, as far as its entry into the U.S., will begin through Texas, and it will kind of follow a line up through Maine, essentially. So hitting Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri, Illinois, Kentucky, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine. However,
that's the path of totality.
That's the where you're going to get a total solar eclipse. And now, you'll get partial eclipses that can be seen, but totality is what you really want. However, unfortunately, good luck finding a hotel at this point because people have been planning for years for this event
since 2017.
Because. Where you are located to be able to see an eclipse is actually quite rare, as I've mentioned. The next total solar eclipse that can be viewed from the U.S., and based on the path, it kind of comes in mid-California and then goes through the middle of the country and then down, I think, maybe before Florida. But that won't be until August 12th. 2045.
All right, I'm still gonna be here.
But so start planning now, though, because
let's get our hotel. Let's go ahead and get our hotel.
The next upcoming eclipses, though, there are some lunar eclipses coming up. March 24th through 25th, there's a penumbral lunar eclipse, so a partial lunar eclipse. And then March 13th through 14th, 2025, there will be a total lunar eclipse visible from North America. Yeah.
But there's a lot of resources if you're not in the U.S. for you to check out.
Yes. So, of course, this big total solar eclipse, there's going to be live streamed events. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, NASA.
We're going to be watching it.
You know, I just like Google NASA and like eclipse live stream or whatever. And you'll be able to find a live stream where you can watch it online from the comfort of your home without solar glasses. Because, you know what, in the words of Jeff Goldblum, it's best not to stare at the sun during an eclipse.
Yes.
And that was a shot with Cosmos with Cosmos. Thanks for watching. Check us out on all the things at Drinking Cosmos on Twitter, Cosmos with Cosmos, everywhere else. And keep your eyes in the sky.
Cheers.
Bye, everybody.